Hear now our gospel reading from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 18, beginning with verse 15. If another member of the church sins against you, go and point out the fault when the two of you are alone. If the member listens to you, you have regained that one. But if you are not listened to, take one or two others along with you, so that every word may be confirmed by the evidence of two or three witnesses. If the member refuses to listen to them, tell it to the church. And if the offender refuses to listen even to the church, let such a one be to you as a Gentile and a tax collector. Truly I tell you, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Again, truly I tell you, if two of you agree on earth about anything you ask, it will be done for you by my Father in heaven. For where two or three are gathered in my name, I am there among them. The Gospel of the Lord. I come to you today with a sermon that's entitled simply, Blessed Beyond Belief. There's a psalm that many of us are familiar with. It's Psalm 118, verse 24, and it states, and I quote, "This is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it." How many of you are familiar with that scripture? And what makes this scripture so powerful is that it makes a proclamation. It doesn't say you might want to be or you could be or you should be. It says we will be. We will rejoice and be glad in it. And the reason why this scripture can make such a bold proclamation is that because no matter what you're going through, there's always something that you can be glad and rejoice in. Amen? Let's have a little fun with this one. I'm going to say a few things and tell me if you can identify with what I'm about to say. Things that you can rejoice and be glad in. Raise your hand if you actually woke up this morning on this side of life. I think that's something to rejoice about. Amen? Some of us were blessed enough to wake up with a roof over our head. We didn't wake up in a park or under a bridge or out in the streets. That's something to rejoice and be glad about. Amen? Some of us even had a little breakfast this morning. How many of you ate breakfast? To God be the glory. We had food. There are those who didn't. This morning when I met with the elders and we went over a list of concerns and issues, we talked about things that are happening all over this globe. Floods and fires and earthquakes and all types of things that are going on. And yet, for most of us, the only water that we had to contend with were the showers or baths that we took when we got up this morning. That's something to rejoice and to be glad in. And how about this? This is something I can rejoice and be glad in. Everybody here has on clothing. So we all have clothes on our back. And if I'm not mistaken, everybody just take a quick peek down. Look at your feet. Anybody here barefoot besides my little one that I saw carried out? To God be the glory. We were blessed to have shoes on our feet. And these are just little things we sometimes take for granted. But today is a great day because God has allowed us to be a part and given us all these wonderful things to celebrate. And again, I will say amen. But today, as we celebrate all those wonderful things, there's one more thing that I want us to acknowledge and to celebrate. There's something about today that makes today just a little bit more special than all of the other days that we have lived through. And that, church, is this. How many of you know that today is National Grandparents Day? How many of you knew that? I saw a couple hands go up. Well, in 1978, before most of you were born, our former president... Oh, stop. Our former president, Jimmy Carter, signed a legislation that proclaimed the first Sunday after Labor Day will be designated as a day of celebration, acknowledgement, and an opportunity to teach the younger generation about the important contributions that grandparents have made in our lives and in the world around us. And so with that, I have to ask, how many grandparents do we have here today? Let me see some hands. And you know, you grandparents, y'all raise your hands proudly because you're all so proud of your grandkids, or at least spoiling them. And then also, along with those who have biological grandchildren, there are some of you that are like me. I'm an adopted grandparent, so I have managed to pick up grandkids from all over the place. Everywhere I go, I find myself with kids following me to the point where I gotta send them home. But we love them, don't we, grandparents? And for that, we celebrate the fact that grandparents play such a big part in our lives. And for those who are here today, I want us to celebrate our grandparents with a round of applause. Some of you are probably wondering, why am I making such a big deal about grandparents? It's not in the Bible. It's not a religious holiday. It's not something that God ordains that we do. But the answer to that question of why we celebrate this holiday known as National Grandparents Day was actually explained very well in the scriptures that we read just a few moments ago. And so I invite you to take a walk with me down memory lane in the life of Dwayne Jackson and hear how Grandparents Day and the Word of God all come together. Amen? And so I begin. I was blessed to have had the opportunity to grow up with both of my maternal grandmothers in my life. Both of my grandmothers in my life, my maternal and paternal grandmothers. I never got to know my grandfathers because they were either passed before I was or died when I was too young to realize it. But I did have a step-grandfather who also had an impact on my life. And with that, having grown up in the presence of my grandparents, particularly my maternal grandmother, my mom's mom, there are certain things that she said and did that touched my life and imprinted itself in me to the point where it became a part of who I am today. And so with that, I sit down and I reflected on all of the wonderful things that I can identify with my grandmother. How many of you, just out of curiosity, had a relationship with your grandparents as you were growing up? Let me see some hands again. For those of you who've had those moments, just shout out a couple of the things that you remember, and I'll get the ball rolling. I remember my grandmother cooking the most absolutely fabulous fruitcakes and mailing them to us from Augusta, Georgia, every year. What do you remember about your grandmother or father? Sugar cookies. Beautiful. Nice. Excellent. Sending sweets. Nice. Any other memories?
Staying at their house.
Staying at their house and having full freedom, stuff your mom wouldn't let you do.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, wow. I love it. Ah, okay, very cool. Jenny, then Rich. Apple pies. I love it. Pies and cookies, you can't go wrong. Meeting them. Yeah, being in their presence. That is so true. Very. Yes. Grandma teaching her how to cook. Somebody who captured all those family recipes that were passed down. Beautiful. Aren't these, yes. Nice. Very cool. Church, these are the wonderful, wonderful things, the memories that we take with us, the things that inspire us, the things that put a smile on our face when we think back to our grandparents. And I want everybody to hold on to those things and never forget them. Amen? But there's one more thing that I also remember about my grandmother. And that is, I had a slightly different type of relationship with her than I did with my mom and my dad. I was able to actually sit down and talk with her as if she was a friend. I knew that was my grandmother, but somehow she gave me permission to speak freely. And in my speaking freely, she also took that opportunity to speak liberally and freely back at me. So she would give me advice like no one else could. And for me, this is where the scriptures and my grandmother's words, for some strange reason, sound almost like one and the same when they hit my ear. I believe it was the wisdom that God had given my grandmother that she passed on to me that helped me to be the person who I am today. Listen to some of the things that we talked about. And remember the scriptures that we read a few moments ago. My grandmother would say to me, people are going to tell you that there's only two things that you have to do in life. Pay taxes and die. But before you do that last one, you got a whole life to live. And if you want to be happy in that life that God has blessed you with, here are some things that you need to do. The first thing you need to do is to keep peace between you, your friends, and all those around you. And the best way you can do it is by not owing anybody anything except to love them for who they are. And if you can love somebody just for who they are, you fulfilled God's law. Amen. And then she said, learn the commandments that the Lord God gave you. Don't commit adultery. Don't go out there trying to kill nobody. Don't take nothing that don't belong to you. And don't be jealous because somebody has something that you want. Just because they have something that you may have wanted, celebrate that God gave it to them. And if God wanted you to have it, he'd have given it to you too. So when your time comes, you'll get it. And then she said, all the other commandments, you may not remember them word for word, but always remember, love your neighbor as yourself. Amen. And then she said, always treat people the way you want to be treated by others. You may not like what they're doing. You may not approve of their actions, but love them just the same because they're all children of God. And then she went on and said, you know, love will cause you to not do the wrong thing when the opportunity comes. So even when your neighbor does you wrong, it'll compel you to not go and do that back to them. And then she said, you know, people been running around for years talking about the end of the world is coming. And she said, one day they're actually going to be right. But until that time happens, live your life in such a way that you bring honor and glory first to God and then to your family name. Don't go out there and embarrass us. And then she said, when you go out and you encounter people in this world, people are going to invite you to be a part of all these different things. But be particular about the ones that you allow yourself to be a part of. She said, don't go out there. The scripture said reveling, but she says, don't go out there and start out of control and partying and doing all kinds of stuff, getting drunk and coming home in a police car. That's not acceptable behavior. Don't deal with people dishonestly, because if you do, they will deal with you in that same way. She says, don't go out there and start needless fights and quarrels and arguments. Work it out. And if you don't have something nice to say, do what, church? That's right. And again, don't be jealous of somebody else. God will give you what God wants you to have. And then the scripture reminded us, put on Jesus Christ and don't worry about all this outside stuff. Because again, the Lord will always provide for your every need. And then, the last thing for now, because you know how it is with our grandparents, the next time they see you, they will have more advice for you. And so then she would say, you know how some people just don't act right all the time? And so when you go to church and you have a disagreement with somebody, don't sit there and try to argue with them and fight with them and embarrass them. Wait till they're alone and then go and talk it out. And if you can't work it out with the two of you together, then go back and get somebody else as a witness. And maybe they can help you get through this little episode, this problem, mediate. And if they reject them still, then don't bear that burden alone. Bring it to the church. That's your extended family. That's your community of faith. Those are the people that God has surrounded you with, even when your own family is not near you. And let them help you to carry this burden. And then, if they still reject the collective love and wisdom of the entire church family, then put a little distance between you and them. Love them for who they are, but don't let them suck the life out of you, because people have a way of draining you, and before you know it, you'll be walking around angry and bitter while they're off doing their own thing, looking for somebody else to make miserable. Anybody know somebody like that? Church, people of God, God has blessed us richly through the wisdom and the love that he has given to our grandparents, the wonderful people that he has placed in our lives, people who have inspired us to be better than we are, people who God has blessed us with to answer our prayers and to answer those tough questions about life. I can hear my grandmother saying these words as clearly as David quoted them in the psalm that we read. When we pray and we say things like, Lord, teach me your way. Teach me your laws. Teach me to observe them. Give me understanding that I may be able to keep your laws. Stay focused. Stay on track. That I might be able to love you with my whole heart and the whole essence of my being. Keep me from wandering off and going astray, but lead me on your paths of righteousness and help me to keep your commandments. Turn my heart towards you when the world is trying to take me away from you. Keep my eyes from looking at all the beautiful things this world has to offer that would draw me away from your love and your help. Keep me from distress, hurt, harm, and danger. And as we pray this type of prayer, I can hear my grandmother saying, listen to what God says, and you won't have any of those problems. Hear what God has guided you through. People of God, God has answered our requests by blessing our lives with the wisdom that our grandparents have passed down to us. Whether you got it directly by having an opportunity to spend that time with your grandparents, or whether you got it indirectly because they passed it on to your parents, who then passed it on to you. We give God thanks for each and every one of you grandparents. And my prayer for all of you is that you will continue to be blessed and to be a blessing as you celebrate this day. I pray that God's love and affection and healing and strength will fall upon your lives for as long as the Lord will allow you to be a part of our lives. And in all of that, grandparents, know that you are truly loved. Amen. Amen. Let's pray. Loving God, we thank you so much for this word. We pray, Lord, for our grandparents, that they will continually be blessed. We thank you, Lord, for the gift of your holy word. May it be a lantern unto our feet, a light to our paths, and strength to our lives. Take us and use us to love and to serve all people in the power of the Holy Spirit and in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.